gather around my friends and hear our birth story. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" And then Peter stands up and gives the full gospel message. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." Would you pray with me? Now, living God, breathing God, as we turn to your word, would you breathe afresh on us? With the help of your Spirit that showed up on that first Pentecost, would you show up in might and in power right now, opening our ears to hear what it is you want us to hear, and so that you might help us be who it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't caught the memo yet, it's Pentecost. And that is the day that Christians gather together to hear our birth story again. It's a story of rushing wind and tongues of fire. It's a story that many years as a preacher, I struggled to figure out how to bring to life anew from these images that are so mystical, mysterious. But not this year. You know, I think it's no coincidence that the three words that sent our nation into an uproar this week, "I can't breathe." We watched in horror as a white police officer held his knee on the neck of a black man for 9 minutes. 3 minutes. After he had already become unresponsive. In the scriptures, wind and breath are the same word. This rushing wind of our birth story, the haunting cries of a world still so broken, "I can't breathe." And we watch the news in horror, seeing as the cities across the nation, including our own cities right here, catch fire from coast to coast. The flames of desperation, flames of exhaustion, flames 2,000 years later. And so would you be willing to go back with me this morning? Way back. Because I believe that going back might be our only way to know how to navigate moving forward. What's happening on that Pentecost day in Acts chapter 2? Pentecost for the Jews, it was a holiday that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And it was a celebration of when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received that law directly from God for his people. That's why we find on Pentecost in Acts 2 that there were people from all these nations gathered together in Jerusalem that day. They were there for the festival. They were there to celebrate that day on Mount Sinai years before when they got their identity and their purpose and their way to live from the living God. Our story goes back even farther still. The very first time that we meet God in Scripture is in Genesis 2. Genesis 2 is an even older account of creation than Genesis 1. And in Genesis 2, we find God playing in the mud. I love that first image that we get of God. God's down there in this muddy clay stuff, and he's molding it into his hands, and he's making these humans in this divine image. But they're not living souls yet. Not until God leans over and breathes his very own breath into that clay, into those lungs. You see, what makes us humans is the very breath of God has been breathed into us. In Genesis 2, right after the human starts to breathe, God creates trees. It's this inspired word that was written thousands of years ago, long before anybody had this idea that trees give off oxygen and humans give off carbon dioxide, and the two need each other to live in relationship and to exist in this world. They already had a hunch that somehow breath, trees, people go hand in hand. If you remember in that garden, what was in the very center of it? But the tree of life. We could call it the tree of breath. The divine breath given out right there from the center of the garden each day for God's children to inhale and to take in. When Adam and Eve lose the garden, among all kinds of other things, I think one of the most tragic things they lost that day was that tree of life, that breath of God continually breathed into them, that thing that made them human. But even before that, do you remember in the garden, God sees that Adam needs a helper. And what does he do? But he splits open his side, and from his side is born a bride. Keep these thoughts in mind. It's going somewhere, I promise. Now, remember, Jesus on the cross. And remember the last thing they did to him before they took him down to make sure he was dead. Do you remember it? They pierced his side. And what came out of it? It was blood and it was water, which signified that his aorta had bursted. You see, Jesus didn't die from crucifixion. He wasn't even really on the cross long enough to suffocate. Jesus died of a broken, ruptured heart. Out of the side of the second Adam, the final Adam. That day on the cross, a new bride was conceived. Not born yet, but conceived. A new bride was coming. And then, remember, when Jesus rose from the dead and he showed up where his disciples were hanging out, do you remember what he did to them? Check it out. In John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, then Jesus breathed on them making, something alive, something that was meant to carry God's story forth into this world. Jesus breathes on his disciples, and when God breathes, every time his creatures come to life, this bride is about to be born. Then go back again. There's the image, the symbolism of the fire. That's what your balloons are today. On Mount Sinai, that day that Moses received the law from God, Exodus 19 says Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Way back then on that sacred day, God descended from heaven to earth in flames. The voice of the Lord came from this ignited place to show his people who they were created to be and what made them uniquely his in this world. And so on Pentecost, the folks in Jerusalem were gathered together celebrating that ancient fiery day when God came to them and they learned who they were called to be. Stick with me. I know it's hard from a car. Stick with me because this is our birth story, and it's the most amazing birth story you could ever hear. So there they are, 50 days after Easter, gathered together just like Jesus had told them. And out of nowhere, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sound of a mighty rushing wind, a breath from heaven let loose, and it fills the space. Can you hear it? Before they felt it, they heard it. Hear it. The divine breath once again let loose, and anyone who was nearby was going to catch it. Just like back in that garden, that breath was for everyone who was in that place. The new bride was being born. God was breathing out, and the church was coming to life. This was the way that God would see his breath move forth on his earth from that day on, bringing dead people and dead places and dead systems to life. It was going to be through this bride, through this church. That's us, you guys. When God breathes, his world comes alive. The ones who were going to hear the cries, "I can't breathe," and who were going to move with the breath of the living God into those places, it was coming to be. The divine breath was back with the birth of the church, with this new bride. God was on the loose in the world again, now breathing through us, his church, resuscitating a dying world, a suffocating world, bringing it to life through us. Following the wind, the mighty breath, came the fire, seen as flaming tongues on the heads of all those ones who caught that breath. Fire resting on all God's people. Everyone who was open to receive got the fire of God. And when people catch the fire of God in all of Scripture, they're set free to do one thing, and that's to be a people ablaze, testifying the goodness of God. Moses came down from that fiery mountain to tell all the people how to now live in relationship with the living God. And they heard his message and they rejoiced because now they could know Yahweh. Isaiah has this beautiful vision where he sees the angels around the throne of God and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And he falls on his face and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." And one of those angels takes a piece of coal out of mention God anymore or speak in his name, then within me there's something like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You see, when God's fire rests on God's people, they can't help but testify of God's goodness. On that Pentecost day, everyone who caught the fire started telling the good news of Jesus to all who were there in their very own languages until 3,000 people started to breathe again, knowing for the first time that Jesus loved them and that Jesus saved them. The breath of God, the fire of God was back in his new bride, in his church. That's us. That's our birth story. And 2,000 years later, it's still our story today, especially today. Every day, we as God's people have got to be set ablaze again so we might get to testifying again. Those who have been touched by the flames of the Almighty God must be a fired up people. There is just absolutely no room for indifference or apathy or laziness or ignorance. God sets his church on fire to get some people's bones burning until we are the very ones testifying of a God of love and justice and compassion and grace and peace and hope and joy and life to a world that's turning on each other and killing each other and hating each other and dividing up against each other more and more each day. That's who we are. Is that who we are living into being? Do you know anything about lightning? When it strikes, it doesn't strike at random, but it strikes what is most ready to receive its charge. God sends his spirit upon those who are most ready and prepared to receive his charge, his fire. Those who are most ready to take it and to testify with hearts ablaze about the God who sent it. My friends, are we ready to connect to the living, moving, healing, reconciling, refining, burning God? He sends his spirit upon those who are most ready to receive it and run into this burning world with it. Do you know anything about CPR? It only works when the one needing breath surrenders himself into the hands of the one offering their breath. It only works when two living beings are as close together as they can be. CPR doesn't work at a distance or by accident. No one ever had CPR just because it just so happened. We don't even know how it happened. It's on purpose to catch God's breath. We've got to surrender ourselves to his arms, be as close to him as we know to be, and open our mouths, open our lives to receive him. Are we ready to surrender all? To draw near to God? To remember how to breathe in and breathe out God? That's what makes us us. And we've forgotten just how to be us, a people breathing in and breathing out the living God. On our birthday, God introduced the world to his new bride, the one that would carry his breath into a world suffocating, dying. On our birthday, God nowadays. I really love Jesus, and I really love God, but I don't love the church. Careful. Careful. It's his bride. Don't you go tell someone you like them, but not their spouse. It's his bride. It's his baby. Don't you go tell a parent, I like you, but your kid can't stand that thing. Don't do it. It doesn't go well. Careful. It was born out of his pierced side. We don't get to not love the church. We get to be the people who help the church remember how to breathe in the divine breath and how to breathe it out to our world. We get to be the people who help the church remember how to be fired up for the right things, how to be ready to receive God's charge, and how to let that charge give us a testimony of hope for a world in despair. Don't hate the church. We don't have time for that. Don't ignore the church. You don't do any good doing that. Step in and help bring the church, not just Belford Community Church, the church, to the fullness of who God created this bride, this baby, to be. That would be the best birthday present you could give God on this day we celebrate his bride, his baby. He loves honking horns. He loves balloons. But you know what he would love the most of all? If we celebrated the birth of his bride, of his baby, by receiving the breath of God, and by receiving the flame of God, and by using the Spirit in you to help this church, to help this world breathe where it's suffocating, that we might burn up with passion and be light where our world is burning down from hatred and darkness. That this birthday of the church, that we might catch God's breath, that we might catch God's flame, and that we might release it to the world. And then that we might catch it again and release it again. We've got to get that breath and that flame every single day. That's how we say happy birthday, church. That's how we become church. Breathe in. Breathe out. Get fired up with the breath and the fire of Jesus. Share life. Testify Jesus. Church, learn to breathe again. And let yourself be set on fire again. The world needs it from us, God's living bride. Would you pray with me? Father God, here's our hearts. Here's our lives. Open to you as much as we know how to let them be. Would you breathe anew your breath into us right here and right now? And don't let us just hold your breath inside of us, then we'd suffocate. Help us breathe it out to these parts of our world, our nation, our community that are suffocating and dying because of apathy and indifference and ignorance and injustice. Help us breathe your healing breath, oh God. And Father God, set your fire in us again. That your people, Lord, that we sometimes just become bored, lazy, restless, or wonderless in this world of beauty and wonder and mission. Oh, forgive us, God. Fire us up again today. The very things that break your heart, let them break our hearts. The very dreams you dream, let us dream them with you, God. Let your people be the most passionate people in this world, passionate for life and for love. Burn in us, O God, and send us out to set fires of life in this burning world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.